T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
To another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Thank you so much for joining us once again this week. Got a great show on tap for you. We are going to talk a little fishing with our buddy, the professional fisherman Mike Marfell, a little bit later on the show. We're also going to talk about some of the law and order issues that have been making headlines here, both locally and nationally. In the next segment of this show with our friend, the sheriff of Jefferson County, Dave Marshak. And in just a moment, we'll start the show the way we always do with our buddy Aaron Tarlow from Southern Armory. I'm Tony Colombo here in studio with producer Chad Ellis and my partner, Bo Matthews. Bo, what's happening?
I'm remotely here.
You are remotely here as we can practice proper social distancing as the dreaded coronavirus is on the rise. And
well, hold on. Cases are, but the deaths are not. Can we
correct.
Agree on that?
Oh, yeah.
That is very correct.
That is very correct. And kind of foreshadowing what we're going to talk to Sheriff about in just a little bit, because there have been some, not laws passed, but resolutions proposed here in our area that tie into law and order, tie into the coronavirus, and also plenty of stories nationally, of course. And I want to get Sheriff's insight on that stuff from a law enforcement standpoint. So always looking forward to that. And let's go ahead and get Aaron on the line before we do this. Aaron, are you there?
I don't know where I am, but I'm somewhere.
We also need to announce, and Aaron's been a part of this show since day one, so I want to make sure he was on for this as well. This is Chad Ellis's last show. This
Yay,
is his going
Chad.
Away. This is the moving, going away edition.
Yeah.
For Chad those is... that are not familiar, we get brand new producers in. We groom them. We bred them into just amazing.
Abuse them.
Definitely, definitely a little bit of abuse, Bo. You got it right on the head with that one. No, I'm
hey,
just kidding.
Did Joe Rogan get you? Is that the deal? You going to work for the Joe Rogan podcast?
No, Aaron
no,
is,
I wish.
Aaron is exactly right. We get the producers. They come here. Second Amendment Radio is such a great experience that they always leave us. They go on to brighter and better things.
It's the incubation system.
And we're just still here doing this weekend show.
It's fine. It's the incubator. You know, we're in this little tiny studio, and I'm trying to get to a big studio.
There you go.
And
I get
be
it.
There every day.
I get it.
Well, are we announcing?
No, not yet. Go ahead, Aaron.
The last guy, he went to like DGS, I think, right? That's a
yeah.
pretty big show.
That's right.
Are you talking about Zach? He went to the morning. Mark Cox.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now he's on Mark Cox.
No,
I thought he went to DGS.
That's where he went first.
Yeah, that's where he went first.
Do we have a producer elect yet?
We do.
You guys do.
The great Carl Middleman will be joining us
going forward.
Yes. Yes. He will be making his first appearance on Second Amendment Radio next week. So this is Chad's
final show. That
dude's
a legend.
Yeah.
He is. He's
a legend,
been in radio
man.
For a long time. And I'm quite yeah. honestly, I'm kind of glad I'm getting out his way, because he needs the bump up.
Well, you know? I don't know how much Chad is willing to share or talk about where he's going, but we will talk a little bit more with Chad about his future and the podcast exclusive this week. We're also going to keep Mike Marfell on for that podcast exclusive, so we can talk about some wintertime fishing and the great outdoors and things like that. So stick around. We put that podcast exclusive out every Monday, so you can get two podcasts of Second Amendment Radio each and every week. The show podcast goes out on Fridays, and the podcast exclusive goes out on Mondays. So let's jump into it now. Aaron, what is the latest at Southern Armory? Not only, you know, business-wise, what's happening with you guys there, but what are the what are you and your customers talking about as we continue to see this presidential election situation, lawsuits evolve? Some would say it's looking like the president is starting to come to terms with the fact that he lost the election. Other people say, no, that's not true at all, like Bo.
Fake news.
What are you guys talking about there at, in the shop?
It's definitely a mix. The other day was like the day of conspiracy theories. So I had a gentleman come in and say that Trump is hiding JFK Jr. He didn't really die. And
wow.
I just kind of was taken back by that, because I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure he's dead. You know, I got my commercial pilot's license. Right. So one of the things in there that one of the case studies that we did was actually about his flight. And my dad recreated that flight and released a paper on it, you know, probably about 6 months after it happened. And it was just really cool. He talked about, like, the pathophys of, like, you know, the stuff that was going on, like, because my dad was a medical doctor, like, medically, and then he reflew it, took pictures, and neat thing that dad had done. And I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure that guy's dead. But apparently, you know, Trump was hiding him so he could come out and run against Biden or something, and I had to check out and go back.
JFK Jr. died like 20 years ago, right?
Yeah.
1999, yeah.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. So Trump had the foresight that he would be president, that he would win a presidential election and then lose, or possibly lose, his re-election bid. And so he captured JFK Jr. 20 years ago and put him away just in case this scenario played out.
He captured him? No, yeah. He's hanging out on Gilligan's Island, man.
You know, the Simpsons knew, so Trump had to know already.
That's a good point.
Aaron and okay. Bax are working on guns because he could only take so much of the craziness. So,
Have you guys not seen the images from the rallies where there's a guy that kind of has his facial structure, but it looks like he's got like a nose appliance on, like makeup, you know? And Carolyn Bessette is also, there's a woman in the crowd as well that really resembles an older, you know, 20 years older Carolyn Bessette. So,
well, that proves
I don't
it.
Know. Anything, hey, anything is possible. Come
that
on, this year.
Not that one. That one's not possible.
So the
you
other,
know what?
The other
I'll bet you lunch it is. I'll just bet you lunch.
If JFK Jr.'s still alive, he must be hanging out on the island with Tupac and Elvis and everybody else that has had the death hoax.
I mean, even if they are still alive, the media wouldn't let us know. So
right. And we're the media.
Yeah. Go ahead, Aaron. Besides JFK,
probably a little bit more weight was CIA influenced the election with Dominion, that computer program.
Yeah.
That one's probably a little bit more palatable and believable.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the CIA's never influenced elections around the world before. And the Dominion program was used, like, everywhere, right? And so kind of an interesting, like, tidbit on that. So
Biden, it looks like he's going down the path that you have talked about, Aaron, many times, of using executive orders to ban high-capacity magazines and maybe even ban certain types of ARs or long guns. What have you seen in that area about what Joe Biden may be planning to do, and how is that affecting not only your business but your customers?
I am really glad that you brought that up, because you're aware that President Trump used an executive order to help get
bump stocks banned. Uh-huh.
Right. Reclassified as a machine gun, and therefore, you know, they got banned. So it is an interesting pathway that was done. Now, that was about a device, you know, an attachment that you put onto a firearm, so this would be like the equivalent to like an auto sear. But I don't, you know, quite know, you know, the scary part is that put the incline that we could slide down and go into, well, we banned bump stocks. Let's get 30-round magazines or more than 10-round magazines reclassified as, you know, machine gun parts, right? And therefore, they're subject to the NFA. I think it's going to be a lot harder, definitely more difficult to get guns pushed that direction, right, onto the NFA and regulated when they never have been before. Because, you know, AR-15s, that's just – AR is not automatic rifle. It stands for Armalite Rifle, Model 15, and there's a Model 10, there's a Model 14, and right? So they did a bunch of these. So, like, when you look at any manufacturer, like, let's take Glock, for example. They've got a Glock Model 17, Model 19, 20, 21, so on. And those are based off their patent numbers, right, when the order they receive them in. So with all that being said, the question now is – you know, where are we going to stop on this slope? And unfortunately, Trump, when he did the bump stock ban, it was a pathway for them to try to ban other things. So now are we going to reclassify optics, right, as some kind of, you know, high and mighty, you know, device?
Military attachment.
Right. That does something, even though, you know, you got to remember optics are subject to ITAR, which is International Trade Arms deal. So, you know, ITAR is a big deal. It says I cannot export certain things to certain countries, and optics are on that. Body armor's on that. A bunch of other stuff's on that. So, you know, could he use an executive order to get body armor where it's illegal? So lots of wow. questions, and can he do it? Yeah, he could do it, but would it stick in the courts? And, I mean, who knows? You know, this is just we could literally do several episodes on this. The other great one I love, we do have Democrat customers, and they are coming in, and they're saying Biden does not want your guns, right? He is not going to confiscate them. They're like, it's just a mandatory buyback. And, of course, you know, I'm like, that's confiscation. Like,
yeah, when the word mandatory is in front of the sentence. So just, I mean, here, just looking at Joe Biden's website, I mean, it's on display what he wants to do. So yeah. it's not like we're making things up or trying to predict but what he may or may not do. This is all here. I want to get your thoughts on this one, Aaron.
They are literally denying the website. My wife was so frustrated that she went back, which I was like, that's impressive, you know, to get her.
right.
Like in her face screaming, he's not going to do what's on his website. And she's like, I'm going back. And I looked at the guy and I go, so you're telling me he ran on a platform, put this out on the internet, his website, right?
Yeah.
And he's not going to do it. He goes, yeah. I go, so you're telling me he's a liar and he's not going to fulfill the promises he made to the American people. He goes, yeah. I go, why'd you vote for him?
So here's one more I want to get your thoughts on. One of the many things under his gun law, what is it? The Biden plan to end our gun violence epidemic. Okay, so yep. One of the other things on here is something that we've talked about in the past, but also doesn't get it talked about very often these days, is regulate possession of existing assault weapons under the National Firearms Act. It says currently the National Firearms Act requires individuals possessing machine guns, silencers, and short-barreled rifles to undergo a background check and register those weapons with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. Due to these requirements, Biden will pursue legislation to regulate possession of existing assault weapons under the National Firearms Act. Could you tell people what that means, what that plan entails?
So he wants to, again, get stuff reclassified. So if you have, let's say, an AK 47, 74, AR 15, AR 10, FAL, I mean, the kind of list goes on here. They would reclassify that gun to be an NFA weapon, National Firearms Act, which for the people in the industry, the people who have been around a while, we know that that means machine guns, which are overly expensive, right? Like I can get you an M16 right now if you're willing to drop about 30, 35 grand. If you want a suppressor, right, which are reasonably priced devices, 500, well, really cheaper than that. But, you know, most people are probably going to drop about $500 to $1,000, which is the cost of generally an AR-15 or a handgun on that. And then they got to register it for $200, just like machine guns. And then for people who want to take and make their existing AR-15 or AK or FAL or whatever, and make it a short barrel rifle. It's a barrel less than 16 inches. They've got to register it with the federal government and pay $200. So let's say he says all of these guns that can take more than a 30-round magazine or, you know, 15-round magazine or whatever it may be are now going to be included on the NFA. Okay, unless we do something like what New York did, where you had to go to a gunsmith and then have like the cylinder on your revolver filled, right? Or you had to have the gun modified in some way where it could not accept these larger capacity magazines, or get rid of them. Okay, so he'll just say you have to register them. So now you're going to register them. You're going to pay the government $200 for somebody that has, you know, let's say five AR-15s. That's a grand. That's $1,000 yeah. coming out of their pocket and going to the federal government. But then you have other people who have way more than five AR-15s. They have, let's say, 10, 15, or 20 of them. That's definitely a bigger chunk of change. So the silver lining of this is, let's say he does reclassify all these semi-automatic rifles as NFA items. The moment you register with the NFA and get your tax stamp back, you can now make it a short barrel rifle, right? Mm. Which, you know, that's going to just make their heads explode when they realize that they just made all these guns really, they made the ability, you can really do whatever you want with them now.
Aaron, unfortunately, we're out of time. I want to continue these discussions, though, next week. Maybe we should try to go a little bit longer next week, because I want to get into some of these plans that Joe Biden has. But in your opinion, just yes or no, can he do this with an executive order, get a lot of this accomplished with just executive order powers?
We can probably try. Yeah. And he would use the precedent set by Trump with the executive order. I mean, that's how I would do it, right? And
yeah.
I don't think I'm overly smart. But,
so tell us, tell people how people can find you guys, Southern Armory, both online and in person.
Yeah. So Southern Armory located at 9901 Watson Road. That's 1 mile east of 270 and 44. And you can find us on Facebook at Second Amendment News Podcast. We've got I got a couple of these guys coming on. They're hilarious, and you're going to like their commentary just like mine. You can find us at Southern Armory on Facebook. Tons of videos on there. I had a guy the other day going, hey, I need to know how to clean my M1 carbine. And I said, here's a link to a video. I said, that's a complete detail strip and clean. He was like, can I bring it to you? And I said, or you can watch the video and learn to do it yourself. Either or is fine with me. And he's like, I'm going to watch the video and try it. I said, you got issues? Come see me. Bring it into the store or message me on Facebook. I'm glad to work through those with you. He's like, cool. And then the other way is southernarmory.com.
Ready, Chad? One last time. Southernarmory.com.
That's southernarmory.com.
Yeah, love it. Aaron, thank you so much. And we will talk to you again next week. And let's just tease everyone now. And we're going to... I'm going to have the Biden website open next week, and we're going to spend a little bit of time with Aaron, and we're going to break down these plans that that Joe Biden has in store, and we'll talk about the truth and the reality of some of the plans that the president-elect, well, Bo, I'm sorry that I used that term, the possible president-elect it has in store for the Second Amendment if he is able to take power. So
and buckle up, because it's going to be multiple episodes, because he's got a lot of plans.
Yeah, that's a fact. So. All right, so let's take a quick break, and when we get back, we'll talk to Sheriff Dave Marshak, the sheriff of Jefferson County. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Watch you smile. You feeling some type of way over there, Chad? It's a very grandiose entrance there.
Yeah, it's my last day, man. It's sad.
I can tell.
Rainy out. Oh, my God.
Oh, welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with producer Chad Ellis on his last day producing with us. Chad is on to bigger and better things, and unfortunately, we are losing him. Bo Matthews, of course, here as well. Bo, I got to give you a little behind the scenes here, because Bo is not in studio with us this week. He is practicing proper social distancing, is connected there to the Matthews compound. During that break,
8 months in.
Yeah, during that break, not only does he come out with the Aerosmith song with the long orchestral opening there, he's every button you could push wrong during that break. Chad pushed it wrong.
No, it wasn't that I was pressing the wrong button.
Checked out. He has already moved on.
No, every time I tried to record, it would start at the beginning of the last segment. So I had to just open up a new file and just make it happen. And it was
any other day, Chad. Any other day, you would have been fired.
This is short timer syndrome if I have ever seen it. He is already in Arizona. This guy is gone.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Welcome back to the show. We are going to be talking to the Sheriff of Jefferson County. Sheriff Dave Marshak returns the show in just a moment, but I want to remind folks, last week we had our friends from Razorback Armory on the show. If you missed that great conversation, you can always grab it on the podcast, and we appreciate everything they do for us at Razorback. And anytime we get a chance to get out into the great outdoors and talk about the great outdoors, it's brought to you by
Razorback Armory, ironically. Your full-service firearm shop that strives to be the area's premier destination for firearm enthusiasts. They are truly a gun concierge. They can get what you need. Go to RazorbackArmory.com for directions and information about Razorback Armory. Tell them Bo sent you.
All right. And unless he gave up because he thought he was connected to the wrong show with the music there, our friend, the Sheriff of Jefferson County, Dave Marshak, joins us now. Sheriff, how are you?
Good afternoon. Glad you guys are doing well. Sorry to hear, Chad, you're leaving, but congratulations. I'm sure you're on to better things.
He is.
Yes, he is.
Biden's cabinet, I think.
Oh, no.
Biden's cabinet.
I'm good on that. So, Sheriff, it's been a little bit since we've had a chance to chat with you. Before I dig into any specific topics, just how are things in Jefferson County as we, you know, continue to deal with the uncertainty of the election and COVID cases are back on the rise and, you know, shutdowns and things like that are starting to pop back up around our area. How are you guys in Jefferson County?
Look, we're doing well. Things are going well. We didn't see any civil unrest as was predicted post-election, so that's always a good thing. And in terms of COVID-related response, I think our county continues to address the obvious issues, but in a responsible way. And for us, it's a good time to move forward to the holiday season and spend time with family in a responsible way. So things are good. No complaints.
Very good. So there's a couple of issues here that I wanted to get your thoughts on that have happened both locally and nationally regarding everything, not just the election or COVID, but just across the board when it comes to sort of Second Amendment rights and law enforcement's role. And we were just talking in the last segment, if you guys missed it, we had Aaron Tarlow on, of course, from Southern Armory, and we were going through some of the plans laid out on Joe Biden's website. This isn't conjecture. It's not like we're trying to predict what his plan is. We're looking at his website and going through some of the things, some of the plans that he has there and getting Aaron's thoughts on them. And to kind of continue that discussion and make it more law enforcement related, Sheriff, I don't know if you saw this about a week ago. The St. Louis County Council passed a resolution that calls for the removal of police officers from schools. When I was in high school over 20 years ago in Florissant, we had a county officer stationed at the school. I mean, this has been going on in some places for decades. Our police officer was part of the he was part of the high school. He was at assemblies. He was a member of the staff. He was a familiar face in the hallways. It was never anything that I ever personally or knew of anyone personally looking at as a negative thing. In fact, I think it made some people feel safer. So this kind of caught me off guard because this just seemed to come out of nowhere. What are your thoughts on this, I guess, now new push to remove police officers from schools? Go ahead, Sheriff.
And is that happening in Jeffco?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Look, I think it's
I love this guy.
Yeah. Let's be realistic about where these conversations are happening. And they're not happening in Jefferson County. They're not happening in St. Charles County. I think it's a very myopic view of the law enforcement student relationship. I will tell you that our school resource officers here in Jefferson County are very well respected. They are an integral part of the school system. The school administrators and leadership is very happy to have our officers in the school system because not only do they fulfill a leadership role in terms of law enforcement, it really does bridge that gap between students and law enforcement at an early age. which will, you know, lead to better relationships in the future. And so, you know, I think moving forward, look, we've had this this liberal push for, you know, pushing police out of schools, but I've seen a lot of that die down and a lot of the rhetoric settle down and people, you know, approaching it in a much more pragmatic way and say, look, this is good for the future and relationship building. These police are part of our community, and so that relationship needs to be ongoing. So we don't see that here in Jefferson County. And I think from what I've examined, I think some of that some of those leadership elected officials have walked back on a little bit of that. So thank God.
Yeah, no kidding.
And in Jefferson County, we're a little bit different, like you mentioned, St. Charles County, probably Lincoln County. It has been standard for our counties in the outlying areas to have a police officer at, if not one, maybe two at each school. Is that correct?
Yeah, so we have seven different school districts in Jefferson County that participate in the program. And I can just tell you from a historical perspective, when we've notified them of increase in costs associated with having a deputy there at their school, they don't, you know, look at it for 2 seconds without signing off on it and say, you know, whatever it costs, we want that deputy here.
So, Sheriff, part of this resolution says that the when they're giving the reasons for why they are suggesting this, and by the way, you're in good company. There's been other police chiefs and law enforcement representatives that have come out since this resolution was passed and we talked about, you know, have called it absurd and you know, and say that it puts safety at risk for students. But part of the reasoning in this resolution was the council says that the people in charge of security at schools should be trained specifically to handle the unique situations that would arise with kids, and that standard police training doesn't necessarily cover that. So almost saying that they're not qualified, and that's one way to look at it. It's kind of how I looked at it. Or at least saying that they don't have the proper training to handle security for kids, because it's a different set of circumstances than standard law enforcement. What do you think about that? Are police officers just by their basic training equipped to handle security at schools, or should there be more training involved?
There's always the argument for more training. I always stand by that. I think that it's a short-sighted view if you think that police officers aren't equipped to handle some crisis situations. You know, they also have to deal with Fourth Amendment issues that pop up in a school. And so I think whatever, and this goes back to a conversation we've had before where, you know, this inspection and consideration for non-law enforcement people to start doing law enforcement duties. The fact is, at some point, a non-sworn officer, security officer, whatever, will have to deal with a situation that quickly becomes violent. And then pretty soon we're talking about how to equip those security officers to deal with force issues. And then as those progress, pretty soon it morphs into a law enforcement role and responsibility. I will tell you that there's always additional room for training and expertise in a certain area. Specialized units and specialized functions serve a role in law enforcement. Our officers that are assigned to schools get specialized training on how to deal with children and to deal with those unique situations that pop up. But there, when it comes to protecting our children and protecting their rights, there's no substitute for quality policing. And to get quality people in those positions, you have to pay a law enforcement salary. And that's just the reality of our position here.
Well, I think extended education for any line of work, especially radio producers, Chad Ellis, he could use a little extra. But to be serious, is the DARE program still a part of what the schools do? I mean, because I think it makes, Sheriff, I think it makes a better connection when, you know, the kids can have a conversation with a DARE officer or somebody in law enforcement because, hey, you guys are the good guys.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, Bo, and those are certainly compliments to the professionals that are out there every day in all the schools. I think that the DARE program has been somewhat watered down for some jurisdictions, but I know many jurisdictions have, you know, morphed it into what works for them and what works for their school district.
talking to Sheriff Dave Marshak from Jefferson County. Sheriff, only got a couple of minutes left. I want to get your thoughts on this last topic before we let you go. We talked about, you know, the various shutdowns and restrictions that are being put back in place, not only locally, but obviously nationally. And one of the national stories that really caught my attention this week was in Oregon, where they, you know, everybody's talking about Thanksgiving and not having people. It depends on when you hear this. We're recording before Thanksgiving. I made the mistake that I told Sheriff not to make earlier. Jeez. Anyway, as we record this, it's before Thanksgiving. If you hear it, it's after Thanksgiving. But you understand the situation that all this talk about Thanksgiving and gatherings has been, you know, top of the headlines in many places. And the governor of Oregon encouraged citizens, encouraged residents of that state to call the police if they see their neighbors with more than six people in their house and during a holiday gathering. What do you, Sheriff, in general, what are your thoughts on police officers? I'm not going to go that far on you. Police officers' role when it comes to enforcing things like mask restrictions and having too many people in your living room or in your yard as we go through this situation. Are there enough cops? Is there enough of time and resources to answer those types of calls and take care of those issues?
Look, this is coming from a state that allows personal use for meth and cocaine, but you can't use a straw in the commission of it, right?
That's exactly right.
Well played.
Yeah, right. Let's keep things in perspective.
Good point.
You know, look, we have to have this, and of course these public policy issues come up in terms of public health, but there has to be a balance of liberty and personal freedoms associated with some of the things that we're doing to minimize transmission on COVID. And I think we have to have a realistic approach. Having law enforcement respond to be the mass police, or having them to investigate how many people are at your Thanksgiving or holiday gathering, is the most absurd thing I've ever seen. This reinforces my commitment to Second Amendment and standing up for what's right. And I think some of these politicians that we've seen go completely off the rails, wanting police to do something. I hope none of those police officers follow that directive from the mayor. I can't think of a worst case scenario than trying to be the mass police and end up in a force encounter over something so obnoxious.
Great stuff. Sheriff Dave Marshak from Jefferson County. It is always great to talk with you, sir. If we don't talk to you soon, have a great holiday season and stay safe there in Jefferson County.
Since this is post-Thanksgiving, as we now know, I hope
correct. Everybody
has a great holiday weekend and they enjoyed their Thanksgiving responsibly with their family.
There you go. Thank you, Sheriff.
Hey, and in some let me just say, in some families, it ain't a real family celebration until the cops are called. So good luck with that.
There is truth to that, Bo.
I know, brother. I know.
Thanks, Sheriff. Talk to you soon.
Have a good day.
You too. All right, take a quick break. We'll talk to our buddy Mike Marfell, the professional fisherman. We get back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here in studio with producer Chad Ellis. My partner Bo Matthews is connected there at the Matthews compound as we practice proper social distancing. Have had a great show so far today. Actually went pretty long with both of our guests so far, Aaron Tarlow from Southern Armory and Sheriff Dave Marshak from Jefferson County. Want to remind folks that if you missed that conversation or just want to hear it again, check out our podcast. You can get the Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors podcast anywhere you get podcasts, but I recommend the radio.com app because it's basically one-stop shopping for the whole radio station as far as listening. You can listen 24/7, you can rewind live radio, and you can get this podcast there on the radio.com app, and it is all free. Our guest now is Mike Marfell, our buddy the professional fisherman, joins us on the line. Mike, how's it going?
Great. Living the dream still, buddy.
Yeah.
Living the dream.
So we've only got a couple minutes left here on the radio show, but Mike's going to stick around and be a part of the podcast exclusive. And we're going to really talk about winter fishing, cold weather fishing, tips and tricks. I know, Mike, you always say that fishing season's not over until the water's hard, right?
That's it. That's for sure. Some of the best fishing, like I said, you see me with a big fish in a picture. I usually got a sock cap on my head.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I want to remind folks, anytime we're talking about fishing, it's brought to you by our friends at Bluff City Outdoors. Bluff City Outdoors over there in Alton, they are open all year round because, as Mike just said, it's always fishing season. So you can always stock up the tackle box. Boy, oh boy, struggling. Stock up the tackle box. That's what he tried to say. They're at Bluff City Outdoors. Check them out at bluffcityoutdoors.com. Mike, we've been talking about it throughout the show. Today is Chad Ellis's, our producer's, last day on the show. He is moving on to bigger and better things. And Chad, before we run out of time on the air here, I want to give you this little gift from Bo and I. Bo and I chipped in.
Thank you.
Got you a little going away present there.
This is amazing.
Yep.
Look at it.
I'd have sent him a Whopper Plopper if I'd have known.
It's not too late. He's already, in the last segment, Sheriff talked about sending us something, and Chad sent everybody his new address. Was like, well, here, if you got free gifts, here's how you send them. So if you want to send a Whopper Plopper, I'll tell you how to get it to him.
This is radio, cool, man. This is free stuff, man.
Man, this is amazing.
So yeah, so we're gonna talk to Mike about some fishing in the podcast exclusive. We'll also get a chance to talk to Chad a little bit more about the future. But while we have a couple minutes left here, Mike, just real quick, your basic approach to fishing right now, is it
right now versus the dead of winter? So we're talking, if I'm going to the tournament I'm fishing on Saturday, I'm gonna have three, possibly four main things that I'm gonna be using. Of course, a jig, a jerk bait, a big spinner bait, and possibly a crank bait, but I doubt it. The other thing the Alabama rigs work, you know, that's starting to come into play too. But we've talked about it. I hate throwing the thing, so I won't be doing that. Getting to fish a tournament with my middle son, who's 21, which is pretty exciting. We don't get to go fishing very often together. So I might throw that out. He's a big, strong kid. I might put the Alabama rig in his hand, let him swing it around, but that would be my approach.
That's super.
The fish are still going to be shallow. They're going to be shallow still.
Yeah, see, and I think that people get the wrong idea that this is not the time to be on the water, but it actually is.
It's a great time to be on the water because there's a lot of people, the big boats are off, and your average Joe, I mean, a lot of people just don't, like you said, it's not crowded because of that.
Right.
People are deer hunting and other forms of hunting, so that helps too.
So basically, the fish are always in the water, right? I mean, I think people get the wrong idea that that it, in the winter months or in the rain or whatever, there's times where they just don't bite, but that's not true. They're always there.
That is not true, and the bait is all dying off and moving towards the backs of the creeks and stuff, and they're gorging now while they can. So they're feeding. When you catch them, they're going to have a little bit of a belly on them, most likely, this time of year. So
we definitely want to expand this conversation, get into some of Mike's tips and tricks for fishing in this time of the year in this cold weather. And we're going to do that, like I said, in the podcast exclusive. But here in this last minute, I just wanted to say one more time to Chad Ellis, thank you so much. Great job. We look forward to the future for you. Bo, you want to say anything to Chad while we have a minute here?
Well, Chad, I've been working around you guys for about a year or so. I was thinking about it this morning, and you seem to be like the first one in the studio. You're always ready to go, and you never, I don't know, I just can't say enough about you. It's just been a great experience with you, and I really wish you a ton of luck down in Arizona. You're going to love it because I used to live there, and it's great beyond just the warm weather. It's a dry heat, but Other than the Biden cabinet, whatever you're going to end up doing, I hope it goes well.
All right, thank you. I appreciate that.
Had to go political.
please tell me you're going to be using that buttery voice somewhere, Chad. Is that the case? What's going on?
I don't know yet, but we'll talk about that in the podcast exclusive.
He'll find his way into a studio one way or another, that's for sure.
That voice has got to, yeah.
That's right. Well, Chad, thank you again. We've appreciated everything you've done for us here on Second Amendment Radio, and it's not going to be the same without you, buddy. All right, we got to wrap up this show. Join us in the podcast exclusive. We'll talk more about winter fishing with Mike Marfell there. And for my partner, Bo Matthews, and producer, Chad Ellis, for the last time, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.